November 10, 1926, how one who lives in the divine will encloses all creation within herself, and is the reflector of her Creator. Two effects of sin. My days keep alternating between the privations and the short visits of my sweet Jesus. Many times he is like a flash that runs away. And as he runs away, I remain with the piercing nail. When will he come back? And sighing, I called him, My Jesus, come, come back to your little exiled one. Come back once and for all. Come back to bring me to heaven. Do not leave me in my long exile any longer, for I cannot resist anymore. But as much as I called him, my calls were in vain. So, abandoning myself in his holy divine will, I did my usual acts as much as I could, going around through the whole creation. And my sweet Jesus, moved to compassion for my poor soul, which could bear no more, put out an arm from within my interior and, all pity, told me, My daughter, courage, do not stop, let your flight in my eternal will be continuous. You must know that my will does its continuous office in all created things, and its distinct act is present in each thing. It does not do in the heavens what it does in the sun, nor in sun what it does in the sea. My will has its special act in each thing. And even though my will is one, its acts are innumerable. Now, the soul who lives in it comes to enclose within herself all the acts that my will does in all creation. So, she must do what it does in the heavens, in the sun, in the sea, etc. She must enclose everything within herself, so that the soul may follow all the acts of my will, and not only this, but so that my will may receive the return of the act of the creature. Therefore, if your act is not continuous, my will does not wait for you, it follows its course, but it leaves in you the void of its acts, and a certain distance and dissimilarity remains between you and my will. Now, you must know of the great good you enclose by enclosing within yourself all that my will does in creation. While you follow its acts, you receive the reflection of the heavens, and the heavens are formed and extended in you. You receive the reflection of the sun, and the sun is formed in you. You receive the reflection of the sea, and the sea is formed in you. You receive the reflection of the wind, of the flower, of all nature, in sum, of everything. And, oh, how the heavens that protect, the sun that illuminates, warms and fecundates, the sea that inundates and forms its waves of love, of mercy, of grace and of strength for the good of all, the wind that purifies and brings rain upon the souls burned by passions, the flower of the perpetual adoration to your Creator, arise from the depth of your soul. This is why the living in my will is the prodigy of prodigies, and the true triumph of the supreme fiat, because the soul becomes the reflector of her Creator and of all our works. In fact, only then does our will triumph completely, when it places in the soul all that which it can and knows how to do. It wants to see in her not only the one who created her, but all of his works. And it is not content if she lacks even the most tiny thing that belongs to it. The souls of the supreme fiat will be our works, not incomplete, but complete. They will be the new prodigies never before seen or known, either by the earth or by heaven. What will not be the enchantment, the surprise of the very blessed, when they see the first daughter of the divine fiat enter their celestial fatherland? What will not be their contentment, their glory, in seeing her carrying her Creator with her, with all of his works, the heavens, the sun, the sea, all of the flowery earth with its different beauties? They will recognize in her the complete work of the eternal will, because it alone can do these prodigies and these complete works. Then, I continued my abandonment in the eternal fiat in order to receive its reflections, and my sweet Jesus added, My daughter, my celestial mama was the first to occupy the first place in heaven as daughter of the supreme will. And because she was the first, she keeps around herself a place for all the children of the supreme fiat. Therefore, around the Queen of Heaven many empty places can be seen, which cannot be occupied by other than her copies. And since she was the first from the generation of my will, the kingdom of the Fiat will also be called Kingdom of the Virgin. Oh, how the sovereignty over all creation will be recognized in these children of ours. In fact, by virtue of my will, these will enjoy indissoluble bonds with all created things. They will be in continuous relations of communication with them. They will be the true children, in whom the eternal Creator will feel honored and glorified to have them as children, because he will recognize in them his own operating will, which has reproduced his true images. Afterwards, I was thinking to myself, before sinning, my first father Adam possessed all these bonds and relations of communication with all creation, because by possessing the Supreme Will's whole, it was as though natural for him to feel within himself all the communications with all things in which it operated. Now, in withdrawing from this will so holy, did he not feel the tearing he made from all creation? The snapping of all communications and of all bonds with it, broken as though in one single breath? If by just thinking of whether I should do an act or not, and by just hesitating, I feel that the heavens tremble, the sun withdraws, and all creation is shaken and is in the act of leaving me alone. So much so that I myself tremble together with them, and frightened, immediately, without hesitating, I do that which I have to do. How could he not feel this tearing, so harrowing and cruel? And Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, Adam felt this tearing so harrowing, but in spite of this he fell into the maze of his human will, which gave him no more peace, either to him or to his posterity. All creation withdrew from him as though in one single breath. And since happiness, peace, strength, sovereignty and everything withdrew, he remained alone with himself. Poor Adam, how much it cost him to withdraw from my will. Just by feeling isolated, no longer surrounded by the cortege of the whole creation, he felt such fright and horror, that he became the fearful man. He feared everything, even my own works. And with reason, because it is said, one who is not with me, is against me." Single quote. Since he was no longer linked with them, by justice they were to place themselves against him. Poor Adam, there is much reason to have compassion for him. He had no example of anyone else who might have fallen, and of the great evil that would occur, so that he would be watchful in order not to fall. He had no idea of evil. In fact, my daughter, the evil, the sin, the fall of someone else has two effects. For one who is evil and wants to fall, it serves as an example, as a spur, as an incentive to fall into the abyss of evil. For one who is good and does not want to fall, it serves as an antidote, as a deterrent, as help and defense so as not to fall. In fact, seeing the great evil, the misfortune of the other serves as an example in order not to fall and follow the same path, so as not to find oneself in that same misfortune. So, the evil of someone else makes one be watchful and on guard. Therefore, the fall of Adam is a great help, a lesson and a call for you, while he had no lesson of evil, because, then, evil did not yet exist.